can sing it with me. More than this world could be. He's so good to you and me. Here's why. For his spirit came to me and he brought me victory. God is so good to me. Here's the clincher. I can't complain. Sing it with all. God is so good to me. I will not complain. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Oh, he's been more than good to me. When I look back and see where he's brought me from, it's a mighty long way from where I am right now, this day. Hallelujah. I tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I know that he's got something planned for each and every one. He's no respecter of persons. He didn't come here with an agenda other than to seek and to save that which is lost, to reach out and heal the one who is sick in body. Maybe you don't know the perfect will of God for your life. He's here to give you the confidence tonight. He's here to let you know that he's got you in the palm of his hand. Hallelujah. Few things here. So don't sit down on me yet. I was working the emergency room one time. I'm an LPN. And we had a couple of guys that tried to climb a tree on their motorcycles. And one of them's leg was just, it was horrible. So my job that night in the emergency room was to get the antiseptic, the betadine, and scrub the wound. Well, now, it looked really bad. And there was leaves and a little bit of bark and a lot of glass. And we couldn't give him anything to put him out because he had a little one too many. And so I was trying to be careful because I knew it hurt. But they told me, scrub a little harder. And then when the doctor came, and I gave him his sterile gloves, and he slipped his hands in there, the next thing I knew, he had taken that big hand of his and just reached into that leg wound. Well, yeah, that's what I felt too, just kind of, ugh. And I said, but I cleaned it. He said, but you never know what you cannot see inside of that wound. Well, I have come here this week, and I'm feeling after some things in the Holy Ghost. Some of you have been hurt You want the festering to be released. You want the infection to be gone. I've got a doctor that is in the house tonight. He won't be hard. He'll be gentle, but he wants to reach way down, and he wants to lift you up. He wants to restore you not just to good health, but to great health. I worked the psychiatric unit for a little while, and I didn't like working there. They're always wanting to analyze what's going on in your mind. But that was my job, and so for a couple of weeks I was there. And I'll never forget, there was one gentleman that must have been a Christian of some sort, and he had a crucifix with him. And when I walked in, they were doing shock treatment on him because he had just really lost it. And he had gripped that crucifix so hard that it was embedded into his hand. Well, I wanted to leave right then, because you know what happened. The Holy Ghost inside of me was repulsed by what I was seeing. But then I was also analyzing it myself. What got a hold of that man's life that he would just freak out, if you will, and lose it all, and that one little thing in his hand, he would look so hard. And then I realized there's a lot of people in this world today that are looking for things that will clear their mind. It will relieve them of the torment that life and sin gives them. It will do something to clean them up and fix them up and put them on the straight and narrow. I am here to declare to you ladies tonight, there is a God in heaven who is the God and author of a sound mind. He wants to heal your body. He wants to deliver your mind. What did Paul say to the church in Philippi? He said, let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want to start thinking more like him. I want to just imagine, what would Jesus do? I've got the Holy Ghost, and most of you do too. So if we've got Jesus on the inside, he's going to work on the outside. Well, we had a great ladies' conference, as Sister Meyer said, last week in Florida. We had around 2,600, 2,700 ladies. We had 200 young ladies that were having their own conference while we were having ours. In one service with Sister Carla Burton speaking, we had 26 filled with the Holy Ghost. One of those ladies was 81 years young, first time ever to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. There was one little lady sitting to the side of the platform, and I looked over, and my eye caught her, and I remembered when she had come in a wheelchair 3 years before. She was so weak and so weary. She's 98 years old, and she didn't miss a service. She wasn't in a wheelchair this year. She was walking behind her walker. Sister Lola Garcia, God did something for her 3 years ago that no doctor and no dose of Geritol could ever do. There's not a vitamin in the world that could take a 90-plus-year-old who's been sick and just in terrible condition and fill her with his Spirit and lift her up in the Holy Ghost and give her desire to come to every service. I looked at her one time, and she had just laid over in the arms of her daughter that was with her. I went down and I just embraced her, and she said, I'll be back next year and I'll be almost 100. And I just believe that if the Lord tarries to next year, that little darling's going to be right there on the front row, just like she's been every time she's come. Why? Because you can't keep a good woman down when there's someone that loves the Lord and they're filled with the Holy Ghost and they've got something on the inside of them that the world has no way to explain it. All we can say is it's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. And what I like is where he says, and the half has not been told. Why don't you write the other half of the story today and tomorrow? Why don't you just keep on writing what's happening? Oh, why don't the book of Acts doesn't have an amen after it? The book of Acts didn't conclude with that last chapter. It just, well, that's all that needed to be written at that time, because we are still writing the book of Acts. If 81-year-olds can get the Holy Ghost, oh, I'm telling you, what could happen here tonight? What do you want to happen here? What would you like to see God do? Then be brave. If you are his daughter, he's your father, then whatsoever you ask in his name, just make the right connection. I can't do it for you, but he can. I would love to be able to, but he can. I would love to just give you the desire tonight of your heart. I can't, but I've got a relationship with a heavenly Father that will not withhold any good thing from his children. But oh, he wants to give you the desire of your heart. What the psalmist say is, a heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I brought you to the house and it's disquieted. There's something stirring me on the inside. I don't know how to explain it. But as you read down a little further, it says, deep calleth unto deep. There's some deep things in the Holy Ghost that is to be done in this conference. There's some wonderful works of blessing and miracle to be done in this place before you say goodbye on Saturday morning. The only thing standing between you and the miracle is you. So why don't you just admit that we're ready to see a divine outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We want to see some miracles. We want to see some healings. We want to see some signs and wonders. I want to see some of you shouting until you just can't stand up any longer. I want to see someone get the Holy Ghost so bad. Because the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It happened when I was in Indianapolis. It happened last week in Florida. Sister Garcia, I was in Bradenton a couple weeks ago, and I missed you there. Hermana Lola Garcia. Oh, I love this lady. I was with Sister Terry De La Rosa. And oh my, we were having a Spanish ladies conference. And we just were having this, oh, divine move. And I touched her, Sister De La Rosa touched her. And then some of the other ladies prayed for her, but they touched her neck. And boom. We didn't know why we were going there touching her neck. It looked normal to me. But there was something going on in the physical inside of her throat. And before that service ended that night, she was able to take a big gulp. And she said, it's gone. Thank you. I still believe in victory marches. And we marched around that church I don't know how many times. I mean, it wasn't a 1 hour thing. For hours, I said hours, we marched. And we fell out and we get up and march again. Why? Because in the last days, we've got to reach God in a way we never have before. In this hour, we've got to take Genesis to Revelation. Stand on the promise. Declare the promise. Get the word rooted and grounded in us to where we can say to the mountain, get out of here. It's not me, it's him. It's not you, it's him. But the way he shows himself is through us. Now, everybody give me a smile. I want to see your teeth. Was it your dad that preached that message, the little red devil behind the white pearly gates? I think it may have been. And what he was saying is, there's this little red devil called the tongue. And the way to beat the devil in the game is to just show your pearly white teeth. And the devil can't say anything if you're showing your teeth. Yeah, you better learn to smile big. Now, I like to take it a step further. Any of you ever fallen in love? Some said no. Well, you just wait. When you're really in love, you not only show your teeth, but your eyes get this little twinkle in them. It's a love look. Uh-huh, you know what I'm talking about. Now, there's those smiles. You're just controlling the devil. But when you're really wanting the Lord to shine through you, you go and let your eyes speak for you. And that look of love will diffuse situations. So whatever your situation you might go home to, get that look of love on you and be angry and sin not. Just keep on smiling. That was free. All right. I just got so many different directions. You can be seated. Can I tell you, I've had moments where I felt the presence of God. I've had friends who entertained angels unaware. But I personally have never had that angel by my side God moment until I went to Brazil. And someone else was going to pay my fare. And so I didn't want to get the most expensive airlines tickets. So I bought a cheap one, and there's a reason they call them cheap. The missionary actually told me, don't use that particular airlines, but I thought, it's an airlines. Once you're up in it, you know, it's when you land somewhere you've never been before, and you're the only one speaking English, and they're speaking, what do they speak in Colombia? Spanish, because it's Portuguese in Brazil. So I get on. Well, here's the kicker. I go from Pensacola to Miami, and in Miami I get on this Colombian Airlines. But before I get on the plane in Miami, they're calling Ann Mitchell, paging Ann Mitchell. Well, my name is Lois Ann. So I don't answer to Ann. And then this person walked up to me and just pointed and said, you are Ann Mitchell. I said, I'm Lois Ann Mitchell. He said, you see this? I said, yes, sir. You're Ann Mitchell. I said, okay. He said, your wheelchair is ready. I said, I don't need a wheelchair. I am not going to ride a wheelchair until it's time to ride one. I'm not there yet. And this lady who was pushing the wheelchair leaned over and she said, just walk beside me with the wheelchair. So I walked beside her and I got put on the plane before anyone else. Now, I wasn't in first class. I wasn't even in second class. They took me to the back of the class. And so, but I got in there safely. And then I get to a place in Colombia called Cartagena. You've been some, you know that, huh? All right, well, I didn't know it. And so I'm deplaning, and this man goes, Ann Mitchell. And I knew my name now. So I yes, sir, it's me. And I'm halfway down this long, long set of stairs. He said, follow me. I'm putting you on another plane. And I thought, oh, no. I knew I didn't pack anything other than candy and Rice Krispie treats. And I was taking the missionary and the kids all kinds of goodies. So, you know, I couldn't get it for bringing contraband in, you know. And when I get down to the foot of the steps, he says, we're putting you on another plane because this plane is headed to a storm and we want you to rise above it. Now, how does that work? So then I get into the airport, and it's a real small airport, and I really am sticking out by now, and this one guy says, I will help you. Okay, and he takes me, and before I could get to where I thought he was going to take me, he took my luggage and disappeared. Well, I'm in panic mode. And then a man appears. And he says, I'm here to help you. I thought, oh, you know, I had a wheelchair and I got a bigger plane and now this guy's going to help me. And when we got through, he went looking for my luggage. And when he found the man that did not take my luggage where he said he was taking it, he turned around the corner and was just standing there waiting for a tip. Well, I gave him a tip, and he just kept, you know, it was just $1 bills. I'm thankful for that because he just kept pulling, and then he saw a five, and he said, I'd give him about anything I had in my hand at that point because I didn't know what was. So then the kind man that the Lord sent my way looked at him and gave him one more scolding. He rebuked him clearly. And then he took me to a gentleman, a perfect gentleman who stayed with me until I got on the plane. And then I get to Bogota, Colombia. And it's a big airport. And I don't speak anything other than, well, I can't even say help in Spanish. I can say please and thank you. And so, all of a sudden, I'm at customs, and they just took me right through. And then out of the clear, I hear a very American speaking English. And I said, could you help me? He said, absolutely. And he walked me through the rest of the way and got me to my next plane. Mm-hmm. It didn't stop there. We had a great time in Brazil, and the Lord filled people with the Holy Ghost, and several received I mean, major miracles of healing. But when I was coming back, I wasn't going through Cartagena this time. I was going through another little town. And it was smaller than Cartagena. And now I'm worried. I'm tired. It's been a hard week. It was the hottest this time in Brazil than they said it ever is at the time of year I was there. So, and their Coca-Colas, that they did their best to give me Coca-Colas. But they were the sweetest things I've ever tried to drink. And finally, I just said, no more Cokes. I need water. So I drank a lot of water. But when I got to this small airport, this little tiny man, an older gentleman came running toward me, ma'am. And I looked at him, he said, follow me. I did. And together we ran through customs, never got stopped, ran through the line, never got stopped, and he got me on the next plane and I never got stopped. I'm going to tell you something. I'll never fly that airlines again. But there is a God. Even when we're not being real smart and we're looking for the cheap ride, he'll make sure that we're taken care of because we belong to him. And he'll not withhold any good thing from us when our motives are right, when our means are pure. And all I was trying to do was save someone the money that was buying me the ticket. But there, I can't tell you. Now, how would you feel if all those things had happened for you in the course of 1 week? I mean, you almost feel, you don't know if you're supposed to feel 10 feet tall or 2 inches tall because God has done something so miraculous and so profound. I really think God wants us to feel 10 feet tall. Because if we're going to identify with him, we can't be a little dust speck on the ground. We have to throw our shoulders back. We have to let it be known, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood flows through my veins. And I may not be able to speak the way I should, but he can communicate through me. I could preach to them. And I had the greatest interpreter with me on that trip. And I finally got where I would just lean to her. I mean, they would preach you until you couldn't preach, and I'd be dripping, and I'd be just almost seeing stars. And I'd look over at her, and I'd say, you preach a while. I'm going to rest. And I'd step back, and she'd preach. And then when I'd get my second wind, I'd step back in, and we never missed a heartbeat. If I went one way, she went that same way. Why? Because we were there to declare Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who was and is to come. The first, the last, the Almighty One. The healer, the cleanser. Oh, the promise keeper, the peace speaker. What do you need God to be for you tonight? I think we ought to stand one time here and just lift our hands and our voices and thank him for being God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You may be seated. All right, there's shopping and there's something from 10 until midnight. But you paid to get here, so you might as well get it all. Sister Flowers, thank you for the invitation. It is such an honor. We knew each other by first names years ago, and we still do. She actually, my mom, you got the Holy Ghost when Brother Becton was the pastor. So my mother, if you'll stand, she surprised me. My mom, Evelyn Hornaday. I was in Indianapolis a week before last and just preaching away and feeling good. And I kept looking over to my left at the very back. And I just kept staring, and then I'd preach a little bit more, then I'd stare, and I'd preach a little more. And finally, I just said, wait a minute, hold that thought. And I walked all the way to the back, and I looked at her, and I said, what is your name? And I said, whew, I thought that was my sister Brenda sitting here. She had the hair fixed like Brenda, and a big flower over here, and a black outfit on, and I thought, oh, and here I've been acting the way I'm acting, and that's my sister. What is she doing in Indianapolis? It was a relief. I went back and just finished up the way I felt like finishing. So, Brenda, you might as well stand. This is my older sister. And then my cousins. Now, let me tell you a little bit. How many of you let your children or grandchildren play church? Shame on those who don't. Let them think their pastor is the hero of their life. Get them out there. Let them learn to preach like the pastor does. Pray like the pastor's wife. Sing like the song leader does. And shout like old sister or old brother. Whatchamacallit. It will go with them the rest of their lives. It really will. My heroes were ministers, missionaries. I had album after album of missionaries and their wives. And so we played church in Debbie and Dee's front yard. Debbie Story, her husband pastors in Victoria. Stand up, Deb. She was the singer and the accordion player, and she had a toy piano. But you can't have church without somebody to go to the altar. Sister Dee Williams from Houston. They even translated that story in Brazil. I said, ooh, my cousin could be the best sinner in the house. And then when she got the Holy Ghost, she'd shout like Aunt Agnes, or she'd shout like this one. And then we, you know, we just go at it again. That's all we knew was playing church. And then we knew going to church, and we'd finish at the one church, and we'd go to the church across the town and worship with them for hours. And that's what you did. And I'm not gonna go any further in that, but it is an honor to have them here. And of course, Sister Flowers and them have known each other forever. All of Sister Flowers' life, we've been there. And then Sister Nan Paymer, oh my goodness gracious, one of the most pure, word-loving ladies that you'll ever meet. And she is related to one of the greatest families in Pentecost that I know, and that's the Mervyn Miller family. She is related to Sister Marilyn Miller. That's your aunt. Yes, and your cousins with Sister Shostrand. So, I mean, hey. I love being here with her. It is a personal treat to me. And then Donna Meyer, your lady of ladies' ministries. When I got on the committee years ago, She's one of the first people that impressed me. And I thought, boy, she's been on this committee forever because she knows everything about it. And for the first couple of years, I didn't say too much. But I'd watch her. And then I began to learn from her. And now we're friends. And she even came to Florida a couple of years ago. And she did a fantastic job teaching our ladies in the Florida district. And then, of course, Sister Lola. Oh, my. Lola Garcia. How wonderful to see you. And for each of you, we couldn't have a thing like this without you. Right? So, I've done that, and tomorrow night I probably won't do it again, because I forget. And so, but I did it. Anyway, I'm just so happy. I want to take you on the scriptural tour now of what I've been talking to you about tonight. I'm going to let you stay seated. I love to stand for the word, but I am going to go from chapter 1 to the end of Philippians to tell you what we're doing here this first night of this conference. Chapter 1 of Philippians, Paul and Timothy, the servant of Jesus Christ, at Philippi. Verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, everybody say good. He's not going to hurt you. He's here to help you. He's going to do good things with you. He's going to let you find favor. People will identify you with God without you ever saying anything. Well, you say, duh, it's my hairdo and it's my skirt length. Not necessarily. A lot of people dress the dress and wear the hair. But it's something deeper than an outer appearance that they relate to. God hath begun a good work in you, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You just stay with him. You stay in harmony and relationship with him, and he'll take you places you never thought you'd go. He'll give you a wheelchair when you don't even understand why. He'll give you some fella to say, I'm going to put you on another plane because this one's going through a storm. Amen. And the one I was on was bigger than that. And that one was a big one I was on. And we went above whatever the storm was. I never saw the first bolt of lightning. I never felt the first shudder of the plane. I thought, where's the storm? I didn't need to know. I just needed to know I was going higher. Mm-hmm. I had an appointment in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And I had to go higher to get there. Amen. And then he says, for me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Every breath I breathe is a promise given to me by him. There's been times I wonder why, you know, now I was a good kid. I probably was the most rowdy of the three of us. I probably was the most daring of the three of us. I was the loudest of the three of us. And I think I got more whippings than the other two ever could imagine. I just can't understand that. But I did find myself at the age of 9 receiving the Holy Ghost. April of 1964, I received the Holy Ghost by myself at the end of the altar in the church there in Beaumont. They were all praying with a lady, and I was down there, and I knew when I prayed through, no one had to tell me. I knew what it was to speak in other tongues. I knew what it was to feel that joy that would come. 9-year-olds can feel it. And let me tell you this, 9-year-olds don't ever have to lose their faith in their touch of God, but it can grow with them. You're not too young when you're not. Dee was 5. She wasn't too young, and she never lost it, but it does get better. It does get richer. It goes deeper than what. There is no limit to what your experience in the Holy Ghost can be. My God is able to do so much more. He is only limited by our limitation itself. I'm the one who says, oh, I can't hold anymore. There's just those times where you feel like I'm just going to blow a gasket if he keeps on blessing, and yet you might be flat on your back and you're just saying, okay, Lord, I'm down here now. You can just keep it on. What is that old song? He gets richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter. Oh, and it is the truth. There is a message in that song. Your relationship with the Lord never has to grow stale. Your relationship is timeless. It knows not a beginning, a middle, or an end. It is just the day you receive it until all eternity. You're able to just worship Him on streets of gold. You're able to just sing the wondrous love of Jesus Christ day in. Well, there is no time. Who said we have to fall out of love with Him? That one, okay. And then it says, and I've already mentioned this, chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's not a profound statement, but I want to tell somebody, it's the stinking thinking that's got you thinking and believing that He's not there with you anymore. But the key is you need to learn to stop the thinking where the thinking begins. It's up here. That's the only place the enemy can reach unless you give him the key to unlock the heart. But if you'll learn that when something bad, something negative comes into your mind, stop it right there. I fully believe in anointing my forehead ever so often. When I pray, let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. For to live is Christ, but to die is gain. There is therefore now no condemnation who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The devil cannot touch your spirit unless you give him permission to. Don't give the devil an inch. Stop him, stop him. Put your foot down. Tell him where to get off. You can't have my mind. You can't have my thought life. I cover my eyes to this situation. Jesus, I'm asking you to take care of what's going on. But don't let me be angry and don't let me sin, because I am not going to give up my relationship to you. I'm not going to let the devil have it. Job said, though the skin worms eat this body of mine, I'm not going to deny him. I'm going to trust him. Trust him. Amen. Okay. And then it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, at the name, all I have to do is speak the name. Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And at that, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Just speak the name. That's all you have to do. There's times that come of crisis that come into our life. We don't have time to get down on our knees. We can't find our prayer closet. Why, we don't even have time enough to say the Lord's Prayer. All you can do is say Jesus. But when you say it, He is there right with you. He's powerful through His name. You've got the weapon that the world desires. Nothing happens to me when I say the name Satan, Lucifer, or the devil. But you let me say the name of Jesus, and oh, something gets a hold of me. Something comes in on me, and it makes me want to run through a troop. I can leap over a wall because there's a greatness inside of me through the power of the name. Give Him a hand clap. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Then it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That doesn't mean come up with your own doctrine. No, that's not it. But you seek the Lord for how He wants you to live your life for Him. Ask Him which direction to go. Do I go here? Do I go there? Do I stand still? And if He stands still, don't get antsy. There's nothing wrong with standing still. The problem is when you go to the right or the left or turn around and go backwards, don't put it in reverse. I promise you, that's not His will. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. They're nothing. I've never given anything up. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. I've never called on the Lord and not got an answer. I've never reached out to Him and not have Him provide for me. None of that means anything to me. But it's His excellency. Oh, then it says that I may know Him. Now, that's not an easy thing to say. What we used to sing that old song, yes, I know Him for myself. That's an old one. But what He's saying here is that I may relate with Him. That I may understand the process with Him and identify. It's not always easy to know Him. Sometimes you're going to go through a storm because you know Him. Sometimes you're going to climb a real high mountain because you know Him. Sometimes you're going to travel a lonely valley because you know Him. But the good news is, because you know Him, He puts lilies in the valley, and it wards off the enemy. They can't smell your tracks when you're in the valley. Then He puts you on the mountain, and in the mountain, the days get cooler. There's pure things on the mountaintop. Oh, because I know Him. Because you know Him, people know Him. Your name is recorded up there. You're His ambassador. You're His, well, you're just His hands, His feet, His voice. You're just His. Man, isn't that something? That is so profound. I'm His. What more could I ask? And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. And then it says, a few verses down in chapter 3, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a goal. That's the mark. And I'm pressing. I'm pushing my way through. Sometimes it's an uphill battle, yes. Sometimes you've got to make a door when it doesn't seem like there's a door. But right about the time you go to reach out for it, it swings open. Why? Because he got there before you did. He knew you were traveling that way. He knew what you were going to have need of before you ever asked him. And he is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. He is the open door. And beyond the open door, there is truly a new, a fresh anointing. And I want to declare to someone here tonight, and maybe every one of us, you have a fresh anointing. It has been ordained by God for this night and for tomorrow. He wants to take us all higher in him. He wants to show us all that there's another level. There is another place to go in the spirit, a place that is higher than we've ever imagined before, because God is not through with us. As long as there's breath in our bodies, there is life in the Holy Ghost. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. So I press. And then the good news, chapter 4. Yeah, we're getting close to the end now. That's the last chapter of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. That is the poorest rejoicing I've ever heard. Rejoice in the Lord always. Yeah. And again, I say, rejoice. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Let your moderation be known, your self-control be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's here right now. He's at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, I said, when I think of the goodness, woo. You can remain standing if you'll come. We're almost, stay standing. They're going to come, and I'm going to, a couple more scriptures, and that's it. Then he says, chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can, I can, I can, I can. I can do it, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to press toward the mark. And I can do all things through him. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. All right, you want a title? You got your song? She's tuning the keyboard. If I would title it, it'd be Indestructible Joy. You might hurt this flesh, but you can't have my joy.
That's right.
Mm-mm. Praise God. You might cause me a minute to, but then I attack the mind, and the mind of Christ is in me. And because of that, then I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear. Oh, hallelujah. Because there is no room for stinking thinking in my life. Do I get discouraged? I do, but I don't stay there very long. Do I get down in the dumps? I do, but I don't suffer depression to the point of sitting down like Job going, woe is me. Apostolic life won't see me doing that. I can shout whether I feel it or not. You say, well, that's not right. Oh, yes, it's right. It's like smiling when that little red devil in there is trying to talk his way through. I'm not going to give him that inch. I'm not going to give him anything there. Oh, he may get me down for a little bit, but I shall arise. Because of the Holy Ghost inside of me. Oh, it's the fire. I said it's like fire set up in my bones. Oh, yes. Rejoice in the Lord. I said rejoice in the Lord.